Good evening. Welcome to our first Advent service of the season. I just actually asked Jerry a question earlier this evening about Advent. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but we all know as the Advent services come right before Christmas. And I always thought that it was just in getting ready for Christmas season. But it's in getting ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ, for our judgment. And that's what we'll be talking about this evening. I'd like to give you blessings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. The sermon text for this evening comes from the second book of Peter, the third chapter, verses 8 through 15a. That's 2 Peter 3, 8 through 15a. And again, we read as follows in the name of our Lord. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Amen. The first word here kind of makes you want to ask a little bit of a question. It should make us wonder what was said before this. Because the first word is but. And we all know that if you start a conversation with the word but, it's kind of hard to make it make sense. So you have to know what comes before that. So we need to recap what was said before this. In the first seven verses of this chapter, Peter is talking about the promises that have been made by the prophets and by the apostles through Jesus Christ, that the day of His coming is at hand. Peter then says that scoffers will come and say, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, everything has continued, just as it was from the beginning of creation. Because they overlooked that the world was created by the Word of God. It's a race. Ruth won. They overlook that the world was created by the Word of God, and that the floods that covered the world came from His Word. And by the same Word, the earth is now kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Now here comes the but. Because a lot of us and a lot of people in the past have thought that the end should really be here already, or should come really soon, since it's been so long since the resurrection of Jesus. We are given this knowledge through this scripture, that to the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, with this knowledge, a lot of people try to run back to the book of Genesis and say that, well, if one day is as 1,000 years, then God created the world in 7,000 years, not 7 days. But that's not what this is talking about here at all. What is being said here is that God is not held by the restrictions of time as we are. He isn't going to get impatient, as we all do if something takes a few days to get done, because He's not affected by time. So He doesn't care if it has been 2,000 years. A lot of us, and that includes me, have thought that the end should have come by now, because it's been so long since the promise has been made. But in God's eyes, it hasn't been long at all. Could have been just 2 days. And we're definitely not the first ones to think this. Just look at where Peter, at Peter when he wrote this, a lot of people figure it was in the year 64. And the Christians of that time were already thinking that God should have come back and had judgment already. And now we know that God is not slow, because He is not held by our time. He is held by His time. And when God says He has all the time in the world, He really means it. So why would He let the suffering and illness and death continue? Why doesn't He just end it? Is He just trying to mess with us? No, He's not. God is holding off on His judgment because He is patient with us, because He doesn't want any of us to perish. He wants everyone to come to Him in repentance. Now, this was a very interesting bit of information to me. How many of us have heard fellow Christians say that they really wish that the day of judgment would come so they could go home to heaven? I know I've heard it many times, and I know I've said it. Now, this is the way we should look at it. If we really want the end to come, we should make sure that we are letting the gospel be spread through us every chance we get, and make sure that everyone has the chance to come to repentance as soon as possible. Isn't that the way we should look at it? No, it's not. I thought it was, but after talking to a friend of mine, I was convicted otherwise. As Christians, we shouldn't be thinking about what we can do to make the end come sooner. We need to be thinking about what we can do to make sure that everyone has the faith in Jesus Christ that is out there for them, so that when the end does come, they are saved. Because if we are all looking for the end to come, then we have missed the point of Christianity. The point isn't that we as individuals would be saved. The point of it is that the saved would do what is asked of them in the Great Commission and make use of the love that has been given to them to love everyone around them. so that all would be saved. We shouldn't pray for the end to come swiftly. We should pray that God would continue to be patient with us, so He can continue to work with us and through us, so that we can continue to spread His love to everyone around us, and in that bring more people to His kingdom. Because as Christians, we no longer live for ourselves. We live for the other. We don't want the end to come so we can get to heaven sooner. We want the end to hold off so that everyone can get to heaven. In our first reading this evening, we heard of the voice calling out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." That is what we are to do. We are to prepare the world for the Lord by bringing His message of hope and love to everyone. Because when He comes, He will come swiftly as a thief in the night. Now, this is a very interesting description of what His coming will be like. He's going to come as a thief in the night. Now, what would you do if you knew that a thief was going to come into your house? Would you just sit back and let it happen? Let him destroy your whole house, as long as he didn't do anything to you? Or are you going to prepare your house so that he can't do anything to anything within your house? Of course, you're going to make sure that you've made every preparation that you can, so you can ensure that nothing happens to anything within your house. Nothing happens to your possessions, or nothing happens to your family. So why don't we do that with the when it comes to the end of the earth? Why don't we make every preparation that we can to make sure that nothing will happen to the other people? We are told that the judgment is going to come as a thief in the night, to pass judgment on this earth. So we need to go out and make sure that every possible preparation has been made, so that the thief can't harm anyone. We need to make sure that we are living as Jesus has called us to live, so every heart and every mind can be locked up in His saving grace. So when that day comes and the heavens and the elements are taken away and the earth and all the works within it are burned up, everyone is ready, and everyone is saved, no matter how long it takes, because we're not living for ourselves. We are living as Christians. We are living for everyone else. Now, since all this destruction is going to happen, there's nothing we can do to slow its coming. God is going to bring it whenever He feels it is the time. And since this is going to be the way that we get into heaven, we should be desiring that the judgment comes. But we need to be living lives that reflect our beliefs, living as the children of a saving Father. Now, everything is going to be destroyed, but because of the promise that has been made to us in the book of Isaiah, we can faithfully look for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells, where we will not even remember the things of the old earth. And Peter says to us that since we are looking for these things, we must be diligent so that we would be found by Him without spot or blemish.
That peace.
So how do we do that? Do we make sure that we use all kinds of creams and other chemicals to get rid of our scars?
Make sure that we're always taking showers so we'll never
be caught dirty? Do we make sure that we are never quarreling and never have any disagreements so we're always at peace? Of course not. There's only one way that we can be found without spot or blemish and at peace. And that is to be found in Jesus Christ. Because He has washed us in His blood so that we are without spot or blemish. And He has taken all of our cares and worries so we are at peace. That's the only way that it's possible to be found in such a state. So when Peter tells us that we must be diligent, this means that we must be diligently Christian so we can have that salvation that is promised to us. And now we come to our last sentence in this portion of Scripture. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Or in another version, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. This isn't saying that the patience of the Lord is our salvation. This is saying that without this patience, there is very little chance that we would even be saved. This means that if God hadn't been patient, we more than likely wouldn't be saved. Now, looking at it and through this light kind of puts me in a spot where I think when I've always thought that I wish the judgment day would come, I really think that's pretty selfish. We continually ask that God would bring His judgment on the world. It seems real selfish to me. And I've done it many times. We need to ask that God would continue to be patient so that everyone may be saved. Because without His patience, we would be lost also. And if we ask Him to discontinue His patience, many others won't be saved. We are to prepare the way for the Lord by spreading His gospel all over the world so that when He does come for the second time, everybody can rejoice and welcome Him. Now, most of you know that I'm not telling you that you have to quit your jobs and go be missionaries somewhere. I'm telling you that you are missionaries right where you are. You have the opportunity to be a minister of the gospel within your daily lives. We just need to take that opportunity. So, in conclusion, as Christians, we need to be aware that the end is coming. There's nothing that we can do to affect when it comes at all. We need to do the best that we can to let the opportunities that are given to us by God be used by Him to further His ministry. Because we want everyone to be able to go into the glory of the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the chances we are given to share it with others. Father, we ask that you would open our hearts and the hearts of those around us so that your word would affect us and each and every one of us may be included in those that will rejoice in your second coming. Father, give us strength and courage to do your will. And Father, protect all of your servants so they will be continually able to serve you. Amen. Now please humble your heads and your hearts and receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.